بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله تعالى in His grace grants a probation to man. ولولا كلمة سبقت من ربك لكان لزاما وأجل مسمى. In this probation, man should think, understand, reflect over the Nabi, reflect over his message, reflect over the purpose of creation. Why am I here? So this probation is given to all. Allah Ta'ala doesn't strike immediately. Commit a wrong and you struck straight away, it doesn't happen. There may be some isolated cases, but as a rule, he grants a probation. وَلَوَلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ لِغَبِّكَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى لَكَانَ لِزَامٌ وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى. But man in his foolishness, he says, مَتَا هَذَا الْوَعْدِ. You say that this punishment is coming. And when is coming? So he's challenging Allah Ta'ala. Instead of him thinking, reflecting, that it's a respite, it's a probation, it's time for me to think, understand what's going on, what happened. Now, he goes on the other end and says, مَتَا هَذَا الْوَعْدِ. If you're saying the truth, when is this coming? So it's not the routine, not the habit of Allah Ta'ala to strike His servants immediately, straight away. Some of the times, the punishment of Allah does come. One is when a pious person is hurt. He's been tolerant, he's been good, but people take advantage over him. He still will try and avert, will avert the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, not allow the punishment to strike. One person, perhaps person Taif or on the road to Taif, is totally handicapped. So they asked him, what made you totally handicapped? Can't walk. So he says, I kept it as a secret. I'm going to tell it to you, I'm going to share it with you, but you will not divulge this as long as you hear that I'm alive. He says, Sahaba Kiram reading namaz with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I crossed in front. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't like this. And after that, just after that, I became handicapped. So now the question is that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not just curse a person. Why did this happen now? It was not his way to curse anybody. But then how this person was struck? So the ulama explained that sometimes the Nabi can see that a major problem is coming to this person. And then the Nabi wants to stop the punishment, and if he can't stop it, he wants to just bring it down, decrease the volume of the punishment. So in that they give a story. One of the awliya, they were going to fetch some water. He and his attendant both went to a well to fetch some water. En route to that well was a very notorious type of woman, and she had a vendetta with this person. So she was carrying some dirt and filth, so she threw over some of the dirt on that. So this wali, he asked the attendant to go and smack her. Well, the attendant was reluctant because it's not the routine, it's not the way of. Why is he asking to go and smack her? Anyway, he was reluctant, he hesitated, and within minutes that woman died. So the wali said, see, it's your fault. I could see the punishment coming, and I wanted to divert it by striking her. If I struck, then Allah's punishment would have just turned away. Now, you didn't comply. Now see what happened. So, they will try, but sometimes it happens that the servant may forgive. But Allah says, no, I won't forgive. So sometimes these problems come when we hurt some of the awliya. They're not in anybody's way. They're working well, they're consistent, they're committed to their work. But then someone will try and instigate. And the result of it is problem afterwards. Some Shias, they thought of playing a prank with a pious Buzrug. So they got on janaza. They got a person to pretend to be a mayyit. He will pretend to be a mayyit and will ask the Buzrug to read the namaz. So as the namaz is about to commence, the mayyit must just spring up from the coffin and rush towards that alim. So the Shias are playing a prank. Anyway, the alim said, alright, I'll do the namaz. As he came in front, now he's telling those people, go and do the ghusl for this person. I said, we did the ghusl already, and we need you to do the namaz. So no, that ghusl is not sufficient. Go and do the ghusl. Now they found that the person really died. So therefore, what ghusl he made before, so that ghusl is not valid. The ghusl of the mayyat is after he's dead, not pre-dead, it's post-dead. So that ghusl was not valid. Now you go and make a... I see you play around with these people here. So they will tolerate, but then Allah's stick comes, and you can't stop it. Our Lama of Dhyuman, really all of them great awliya, just that they conceal themselves, they block themselves, that nobody must discover that we got a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And they conceal themselves, why? They said, now we are concealed, we are undercover, and we can make ibadat as we want. How much ibadat you want, we can. We are serving people in different ways. Someone is teaching, someone is doing some other work, some other khidmat, and it's not known. And they prefer that they don't become known, so that they can continue serving Allah Ta'ala. Now, if they become known, that you got one person coming, second person, third person, about this problem, that problem, so the time is taken up. And then 99% of the time, the problems come up, all worldly problems. Business is collapsing here, I got a fight that side there, I got a domestic problem this side here, make dumb for me here, wife is expecting. So this type of worldly problems. So they rather keep themselves concealed than exposing themselves. But then too, sometimes we have two types of awliya. See, Allah Pak's sifat was zahir wal batin. One sifat is the sifat of him being apparent. In other words, his existence is apparent. From his creation you can see that there is the existence of a God. See, it's a plan of Allah Ta'ala that the essence, the gist of everything that you can't see. Like you eat for satisfaction and happiness, right? So you eat the food, but can you see the satisfaction and happiness? You sleep for rest, right? But can you see sleep? Can't see the sleep. You are alive because there is life in you. Can you see the life? Can you explain what is death? So the actual thing is just the nucleus, you can't see it. But we still believe in it. Don't we believe? We see a person acting intelligently. Everything is this. He's working with reason, understanding, intelligence. So we say he's an intelligent person. Don't we say that? But can we see the intelligence? But yet we don't want to accept that this person is not intelligent. We don't want to accept that he doesn't have intelligence. Don't we? But can we see the intelligence? Can't see it. So that's the plan of Allah Ta'ala, that the actual nucleus, the gist, that is not visible. So when these things that are known to us, we are familiar, we can't see them, then how are you going to see Allah Ta'ala? Show your brains, you can't see. Sleep, you can't see. Life, you can't see. All of us believe that there is a thing like life, brains, there is that intelligence, there is a thing like that. But we can't see it. Therefore it's a discussion now that what is the criteria for the acceptance of your faith. So there was an extremist view among some ulama. They say that the faith is only acceptable if you can, the hair-splitting theological explanations you can give, then only your faith is accepted. But all ulama, they rejected this. Because if you want that theological, very fine hair-splitting explanation, then in the whole of Durban, I think you may find only 3-4 people. So then, it means there's no Muslims here. And then Sahaba Kiram didn't go into that type of elaborate details about Iman. So this opinion was rejected. Although there were some scholars that had given that opinion, but that opinion of theirs was rejected. The second opinion was that we can't give a conclusive definition or a conclusive criteria. You must have it at this standard for your iman to be accepted. They say it's subject to the person, that person that is under discussion. Subject to him that he must have the conviction. However he gets it. So an ordinary person can get it in a simple way. The scholar of the time, the philosopher, raises, in Arabic say, Razi, right? So Shaitan came to him. Shaitan tells him, is your iman stronger or this farmer that is plowing the fields? So Lama Razi says, obviously mine. Shaitan asks him why? Because mine is based on research and it's a scholarly iman. I researched the thing very well. And this person, this farmer that's plowing the fields, his iman is not based on research. is what he inherited from his father and grandfather. That's what, that's inherited. Mine is based on research. So Shaitan said, hey, don't waste time. I'll prove that your iman is not as strong as this simple farmer. So both Shaitan and this Allama Razi, they go to this simple farmer. So they ask him, how many gods are there? He said, just one. So Shaitan asks him, what's your proof? So the farmer says, he's got the plough on the head, pickaxe. See, if you ever say there's another god, see this one here, I'll crush your head for you. So Shaitan is saying, Razi, that these people, you can't even reason with them. You try to reason with them, they'll come up in arms, they'll blast you. You tender one argument, I'll break it, I'll crush your argument. You give another argument, I'll crush it. Third one, I'll smash it again for you. Yeah, you can argue with them, they'll smash your arguments, I'll smash it straight. Can't reason with them. So, you can't give one conclusive definition. It's based on the person that you're working with. Around the late 1800s, so there used to be a flurry of missionaries working in India. Because they couldn't tolerate the sight of Islam. So their main opposition was Islam. So looking into Islamic, into Indian history, their main opposition was Islam. So they sent the missionaries to try and jam them up. And the Muslims went to sleep, they see what's going on, and they will also stand up. So they got a missionary there, and one butcherman now, he's seen the whole, this whole drama that's going on. So, you know, I have to put this missionary in his place. He thinks he's too smart. So he says to that missionary, a priest that's preaching Christianity to Muslims, say, how many gods? Obviously one. So this Muslim is asking that priest, the pastor that is preaching, ask him, alright, I want to know from you that God has how many children? This one, Christ. Your God is wasting time. I'm only 70, 65. I got 10 children. How old is your God? No, God doesn't have a time. There's no age limit. But just tell me how many, alright, 5,000 years. 5,000 years, only one child. I am just 65 or 10 children. Now, the whole argument is finished, class. So, they have to come up with this type of arguments just to quell a situation, you see. Because it's ordinary people you are talking to, not educated people. Educated people, then you talk to them in a different way. That's why I say that iman, we cannot say now, this must be the level of iman. It's dependent on the situation. As long as the individual got that yaqeen and he doesn't have doubts in his iman. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So that's why I tell some students, try to act too smart. Don't go into arguments and don't get into debates. Because if you want to get into a debate, you must know how to counter. You want to say something, he's going to reply, right? And you want to say again, and then you may just get jammed up. You don't have a reply. Yes, you know how to give a reply, then you try it. But if you don't know how to get it, don't act smart. So around 1980 somewhere, Sheikh Al-Aziz had gone to London for i'tikaf. Mustafa Rahmatullah had also accompanied him. And the London news had it that Islam on the shores of the West, because the reception they had for the Sheikh, they couldn't believe it. the reception was so great. Just at the airport, there were about 15,000 people. Imagine, they don't see such kind of thing. The crowds that he's drawing. And then in that, a lot of pastors, priests, popes, all used to come there. Then they want to ask about Islam. So the Sheikh said, take it to Musa, he'll sort them out. And he's doing some other work, and Musa is doing some other work. Everybody can't do all the work. There must be a distribution of work. You do one work, he do one work. But they will come and cry there, make dua for us. That presence and that zikr of that whole atmosphere, that would really soften their hearts. They're crying, make dua for us. But now, they don't have the courage to give up the Christianity. So now they want to engage with Mustafa Muttari. So, one of those popes or pastors, he asked Mustafa Muttari, he asked, what is the story about the allegation of a wife of a Nabi? So now, some knows what he's getting at, what he's aiming at. So he says, you see, the Quran Sharif has got about two or three stories of people that were falsely accused. And Allah Ta'ala had proven their innocence. People that were falsely accused, and Allah Ta'ala had proven their innocence. One was a Nabi and an allegation against him, and Allah Ta'ala proved his innocence, Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Then there were two women who were also charged, and Allah Ta'ala proved their innocence. So one woman was such that she wasn't married. There was an allegation against her, she wasn't married, and she came up with a child. And there was another woman who was married, and an allegation was against her, and she didn't produce a child. So now you tell me which story I must start off with. See, we think all this Indian ulama are that. They know it, they're very sharp, they're smart. Now that pastor is blushing, is embarrassed a little bit for asking this type of question. So he's still that mischief, he still wants to carry on inside. So after some time thinking, deliberating, then he says, but I can't understand, how can people make such an allegation against the wife of a Nabi? So Musab's spontaneous answer was, they didn't spare the mother of God, you know. They didn't spare the mother of God. Where would they spare the wife of a Nabi? Now again, it's jah. So for this type of session, then you need to understand how to overtake, how to overcome them. But now, I'm going to give a simple answer there, and then you become an embarrassment, or you become a cause for people having doubts. I don't engage. Don't think I'm smart, I'll quell the situation, I will have the upper hand, I'll prevail. Don't think that. Yes, you know about this thing here, how it works, how they start you off, and how you must overcome this, how you must cross the hurdle. That's a different thing. But you don't have the experience, you don't have the know-how, don't start it off. So we're talking about Iman, and at what level will that Iman be accepted? So we spoke about Imam Razi rahmatullahi. So in his day, right, very famous philosopher, the whole world knows about him. So it struck him that, you know, I studied, but I didn't get into the tasawwuf, didn't go for the purification of my soul. So let me go to Shamsuddin Kubra for the purification of my soul. So he went. I studied everything else, but I didn't study this science. Purifying the soul, purifying the mind. I didn't do this. And the Quran Sharif has got a lot of emphasis on the purification of the soul, but I haven't gone for this. So he went up to Shamsuddin Kubra, put him into a small training. So he had some experience now. Now when he had that experience, he came and complained to the sheikh, that see, I started the zikrs and all that, but I'm having some type of an experience I'm going through. So the sheikh showed him, it's very good, that experience what you're talking about is very good, because it would seem that all that philosophy, etc., that thing is getting smashed down. Because sometimes the philosophers, they talk beyond, you know, beyond their limits. Right. And then it's important to bring them back on cause. Like our scientists now, they talk of evolution, devolution, all these things, right? So they go off, then it's important to bring them back. Though a Muslim philosopher, he'll reason differently, but he'll have to counter their arguments. In the process, he's talking about their arguments. And that thing has clouded his mind. So that thing has to be thrown out. So Imam Razi heard this. When he heard this, he Sheikh, no, I think I have to leave. Because he's thinking to himself, see, I spent about 20 years just getting this philosophy right. You know, I've reached such a level that the world doesn't have a person like myself. I've excelled in this thing here. So now I'm going to lose all these things here. So I can't continue with it. So he left. The Sheikh said, see, don't worry about that. Your reasoning will be much better. Now it's child's play. Then will be reality. So don't worry about this thing. Without, he couldn't manage it. Respectful to the Sheikh, and in a respectful manner, he went away. Now the Shamsuddin is about 500 kilometers away from the murid. Razi is a murid, he is a Sheikh. The Sheikh is old, but so he needs some assistance at the time he'll make wuzu. In olden days, there wasn't taps and all that. He's making wuzu with a jug. So now he needs someone to support him to make wuzu. So the Sheikh is making wuzu, is washing his hands. And one jug is finished, second jug is finished. Normally the one jug is sufficient to make the entire wuzu. Now he's used that one jug and the second jug. Now that attendant is overawed, you know, of the Sheikh's presence. He can't even ask what's going on here. You know, he's just washing his hands. He's looking one direction and he's washing his hands. In the meanwhile, he pulled out his slippers and he flung it. I said, Kehdo is mal'un ku. Ke me khuda wahdahu la sharika ho ke par iman leta hu. Bina dalil ke. He flung that slipper in that direction. He says, tell that cursed shaitan that I believe in Allah Ta'ala and I don't need any proof. I don't need any argument. In the meanwhile, Razi was on his deathbed. About dying, right? And Shaitan is troubling him. So he is tendering proofs and arguments. He is countering him and his Shaitan is pestering him. And he is answering and answering and answering. Until Razi gave 99 proofs of the existence of Allah Ta'ala. And Shaitan is just breaking and smashing those arguments. And the Sheikh, somehow Allah Ta'ala made it possible that he can see, though it's 500 kilometers, as a miracle Allah allowed him to see. So now, the Sheikh understands that Razi is for about 100 arguments. And he came up right in the 99th one. Now if he fails here, then it will be miserable for him. So he came in between, just tell that cursed shaitan that I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proofs. And just then his soul departed. He said that words, I believe in Allah Ta'ala, I don't need any proofs. And just then his soul. So each person according to his level, but he must acquire the conviction. He must acquire conviction. He mustn't entertain doubts in his iman. There may be sometimes, there may be some thoughts passing your mind. You're not answerable for that. But to have doubts in your iman, that's wrong. It's a problem, major problem. Now, you're getting a situation, people are coming, educated, right? Into school, university. And the whole, they went whole, to the whole science career, right? And the science career, they teach them about evolution, right? And evolution is teaching them that man progressed. From a monkey, progressed, evolved, until he became the man. Right? Though this is flawed also, this evolution theory is flawed, right? But the way this thing is taught at a high level, high school level, and then at the university level, that thing becomes rooted in the mind. And a person finds it difficult to relinquish himself from that. I know I get doctors here coming in, professional guys coming, wearing kurtas, regular namaz. Well, what do you have to say about evolution? So I explain to them, but it makes me quite perturbed that at that level still the mind is not cleared. What was the need for them to ask? Wearing kurta, regular namaz, going out in jamaat, but the mind is still shaken. That means the iman needs attention. So, if you understand this, now it's, everything is becoming, everything is, they're disclosing what has happened, right? Now this Darwin is around the 19th century. Must have died around 1800, somebody died, right? So before he died, he retracted. Now they're showing it. Before he died, he retracted from this. But now, there's a motion that is saying, no, that this story about his retracting is not valid. It's not valid. Now, what happened around that time, 1800s, right, around that turn of the century, what happened at that time was the church was becoming too powerful and the state couldn't see it. Right. When the state couldn't see it, so the state went on to the concept of evolution. Because the church is talking about man being born from Adam alayhi salam, right? That's how it started. So now, they didn't want the church to have the clout and the strength and the influence over the people, so they pushed towards evolution. Because they're afraid now that the church is getting too strong. So now how to break the strength is move them from the Adam alayhi salam story, move them right on to evolution. Right. So if they get stuck into the evolution, they won't believe in Christianity. Right. And meanwhile, we will be able to call the shots, our influence will grow. See, every king, every ruler, that is his concern, I mustn't lose my influence. But see, in election now, what happens? Everybody wants to assert his influence. I'm great. I'm more powerful, I'm mightier, I'm like this. So a ruler, that is his primary concern, my influence must remain. I must prevail. So his concern is kursi. The rest of it is not concerned about. What do you do after you are? But his influence mustn't crack, mustn't break. So now how to establish the influence? So they thought of establishing it, let's move away from the Adam theory into the evolution theory. So it'll be a godless nation, we'll be able to rule them, we'll be able to influence them. Now, then the story is that, alright, then how this evolution story, then how the thing became like a world order. It became a world order from that point, right? I say the church and the state had a problem, right? So they went out towards this. Now understand how it works, how the system works. In the world, the system that works is might is right. So the ruler's got the might. So when they got the might, they're always right. And the proof for it is, look at the covert story. I ask you, this covert story, where it came from? From the mighty or the downtrodden? Where it started? The downtrodden may be the majority in the world, right? They may be the majority. But they don't have the clout, they don't have the influence. Right? Now, these people that had the influence and they had the might, they pushed the story and everybody had to just buckle under pressure. Why they had the might. So when you got the might, then you got the point from where you can influence. So there's two points that you influence the world. Influence the world from two points, two areas. One is media, right? Every type of media influence. So they got the control over the media, television, newspapers, or they got the control, right? And the second point of influence is education. The whole world gets influenced through education or media. So these two points, they control. So we want something to run, then we get control over this thing here and pass our message across. In the alternate news, we get things coming, but nobody will pay attention to it. The alternate news is not reliable. They will see the mainstream media, what's going on, what's cracking there. So might is right. Then they started with that, right? Then what they went on with? They went on with the story must be reliable. Be reliable. Put the mask on. Be reliable. Vaccines. Be reliable, right? So they're pushing it. Until big conglomerates, they warned their staffs that you're not going to vaccine, lose your job. Don't vaccine, you lose the job. People said, a vaccine? Say, you must act reliable. Don't vaccine. Mask. Vaccine. You must act reliable. Now, they did all that, and the story is unraveling now, right? The story. Now, after the vaccine, every second doctor that I meet, I come across, they say, those that vaccine, they got complications now. Someone got a heart problem, someone got paralyzed, the lung is failing, trying to treat that, the kidney is failing, some complication or the other is coming up. Now, the story they gave was, be reliable, right? Now, if they were true in what they say, be reliable, if they're true and honest, now, this was the aftermath of the vaccine. And the proof for that was, according to medical standards, you can only push a vaccine after 10 years of experience. Before that is not right. It's unethical. So were they reliable in pushing it? So when they pushed it and people have become sick now, complications, so reliability requires to at least compensate those people. You pushed it, you brought this problem onto people, so now at least reliability requires them at least now go and compensate. They're not in the picture now. Now they don't assume responsibility. So what I'm showing you is might is right, that's the rule. In any century you must see, look at history, look at facts, look at the surrounding circumstance. Then you come to a conclusion. You just come to a conclusion overnight like this. And then you didn't see the other side of it. And that is short-sightedness. Now, this Darwin himself is retracting, right? And this retraction can't come into the news because it will break the ruling party will break them. So it can't come to the news. But now, the rest of the world have got themselves drowned in the problem of the church and the state. Did we have any business with that?
We got no business with that. We got caught in their problem. What that thing required, you go and sort your problem out. You don't drag us into your problem. You go and sort yourself out. But now they drag the whole world into their problem. As a result now, the stats are showing that Europe has got over 78% of atheists. They don't believe in a God. Stats are showing, today's stats. Israel is supposed to be an Orthodox country, right? It's got about 57% of atheists. So they're Jew just by name, just by nationality they're Jew, but they got no belief at all. So see the aftermath, what it caused. So I say this is a fight between the church and the state. You all go one side, you all go fight it out. Don't drag us into your problem. Leave us, and leave us to our faith and our creed. Don't drag us into your problem. But now you see how many people, you know, when I meet educated people, right, then they will agree and accept that most people, or a good percentage of people who went to do this science and evolution, they lost the iman. They lost the iman, or the iman is now on the edge, most people. So was it worth the while? So it is important that we look at this history. You know, the history of education. So you must look at the sessions that they had, the discussions that they had, that what we want out of this education. So they got the radio, 704, what do they call it? 702. So they had a talk show on 702 radio, right? From 30 years back. So the whole discussion was that why do the schools insist on the Shakespearean language, thou and betwixt and all these things, thou, thee, and all that. That is a redundant language now. So we are talking a different language. Why must we insist on Shakespearean language? So the person in charge of the education, he is giving the answer. His answer was approximately 702, huh? Yeah. His answer was that our intention is to create an atheist Western mentality. What? An atheist Western mentality. That's the whole idea. So this is from the horse's mouth. Now, it's their fight, and the whole world is getting dragged into their fight. I ask you, is it making sense? In the process, you lost your religion, you lost your shame, you lost your modesty, everything is gone. And you look at the old people, the old aunties and all that, the iman got no doubts. 85, 90, they went to school, right? But you talk to them about iman, the iman is like, there's no scratches in the slate of iman. Iman is pure. They may do some stupid things here and there, right? But if you talk about the iman, that iman got no scratches. It's clean, clear, pure, undiluted. They will talk about Allah Ta'ala as though they see Allah Ta'ala. They'll talk about Qiyamah, Jannat and Jahannam as though they see Him. And when we talk about Jannat and Jahannam, like we talk about it as though it's a concept. We won't talk about it as clear as these old people will talk about. Because they were not schooled. When they were not schooled, the iman was not effective. Now that brings you to, you say, what is the criteria for the acceptance of faith? So one is the simple person that didn't get himself mixed with all this. So he's still safe. But he wasn't schooled. He didn't go through the process. When he didn't go through the process, his iman was not affected. But the one that was schooled, right, and he learned all these things here, when he learned all these things here, right, so it is incumbent on him to undo what he did. See, he polluted his old iman, right, he messed his old iman. Now he must come back, he must go and undo what he's done. Otherwise he's in a very dangerous position, because he's got his iman jammed up. But It's of his own doing. Nobody forced him to go and learn that. It's of his own doing. When it's of his own doing, now he must get go and correct his iman. All the doubts, that webs, the cobwebs that are in his mind, he needs to clear them up for his iman to be safe, for his yaqeen to be right, for him to be meeting the right criteria. Because it's of his own doing. Nobody brought him there. So he has to get his iman right, get all these things out, weed it out, and come back to the pure iman for him to meet the criteria. So the villager is easy. The villager, his iman, his conviction, he gets his house, he gets it. He'll say, Al-ba'aratu tadullu ala al-ba'ir. See, this the droppings of animals here. It shows that an animal passed here. Right. Now, nobody wants to believe that thing came through evolution. That it was first neutron, proton, proneutron, whatever. Nobody wants to believe that. You say it's a dropping of animal. What do you say that? But you didn't see that animal. Did you see the animal? You didn't see the animal. But you will say, no, this, I got conclusive evidence that there was an animal that passed here. Now that is his reason, that villager. So his iman is clear, pure, clean, undiluted. No, not subject to any science. And then he says, "Wal mashyu tadullu ala athari al-qadam." If there was footsteps here, then there was some people passing on here. Now, no science want to believe that there can be footsteps just because of some scientific reasons. So some such silly things, simple things, your mind doesn't want to believe that it just came because of evolution. Evolved from one thing to the second thing to the third thing. You don't want to believe. Someone must have passed here. Whereas you didn't see the person, you didn't see the animal, but your mind doesn't want to believe that this thing just evolved. You don't want to say that. So exactly the same. Now, talk about the earth, then the same that village is saying, فَهَذِي السَّمَا ذَاتُ الْأَبْرَاجِ. Look at this. Heaven, with all the systems, the galaxies, the stars, the sun, the moon, and how it's in operation, right? With what precision. Look at it. Just look at the heaven. وَهَذَا الْأَرْضُ ذَاتُ الْفِجَاجِ. And look at the earth, with a beautiful system, so much of systems, roads, etc., all that's happening, right? So many things happening. كَيْفَ لَا تَدُلُّ عَلَى اللَّتِيفِ الْخَبِيرِ. How can all this happen without a creator? It is mess and filth, you can't believe it came of its own, it just evolved. That steps, that footsteps, right? You can't believe that it just evolved. And all this universe, whole heaven, etc., how could it come of its own? So that villager got away very easily, very cheap. Because he didn't subject himself to all this nonsense. But when you subjected yourself to this nonsense, now you have to subject yourself to the rectification of iman. Get it right. Get it strong, powerful. Someone that, the Mullah is talking about Jannah, you're seeing Jannah. 100% it is like that. You're talking about Qiyamah, no more it is like that. Your heart is convinced that there is a Qiyamah. There is a life in death, a life after death, the Qabr. Talk about it. Your body is trembling, you're seeing it. So you're not doubting it. You're not doubting. You're absolutely convinced about it. So that's the need, that we clear all these cobwebs and get that iman right again. To that level that when they talk about Jannah, you're seeing it. Jahannam, you talk, you're seeing, you're relating to it. The life after that, you're seeing it. And any command of Allah, short of iman, any command of Allah, Allah, I believe in it. And I love it. Well, I love it and I believe in it. An easy way, as a starter, you know, a starter, to get that iman right. So you say, Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bil Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rasoola wa nabiya. I just love my Allah ta'ala, He is my Rabb and Creator. I love my Deen Islam. That means everything of Islam. Commands, small commands, big commands, difficult or easy, whatever, but I just love them. And my Rasul and his teaching, I love it. So say this word, inshallah. With time, your iman will strengthen, will improve, will keep growing. There must be a way, isn't it? To do away, to flush away with all this filth that we have accumulated in our minds. That has to, must be some way. Because there's girls that phone up. The university. Oh man, our lecturer has convinced us about evolution. They're learning in the grades from grade 11, grade 10, till university they're learning, and then they come with all this rubbish, right? Like how, you know, those little children, the father can say anything, mother can say anything, go to the nursery, oh, the apa told like this, do like this. What the apa says, that becomes wahi. The mother and the father can say anything, but what the apa says becomes the wahi. So to the students that are at that level, then what the teacher or the lecturer said, that becomes the revelation. They don't use the brain, no, the teacher said this. So, to get the iman right, now that's the need of the time. Allah Baktawfiq and Sifiq.